Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 40 through 44. So we'll do the first verse responsively. Word meanings: Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Taha, them, Tata Bhutaha, being in such a state, Vivikte, in a secluded place, Upasangataha, going up to, Ashlisha, embracing, Anamayam, help, Krishtva, asking about, Prahasan, laughed, Idam, this, Abravit, said. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Please. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Bhagavan stastata bhuta vivikta upasangata ashlishya namayam prishtva prahasan idam abravit. Translation: The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. Purport: Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that Krishna expanded himself by his vibhuti shakti to embrace each of the gopis individually, thus waking each of them from her trance. He inquired, "Are you now relieved of your pain of separation?" and laughed to help lighten their spirits. We can chant together. Api smarata na sakya swanamarta chikishaya gatam chira nitam chatu pakshakshapana chetasa. Lord Krishna said, "My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies."
Apyavadhyayatasmansvid akrita gyavishankhaya nunam bhutani bhagavan yunakti viyunakti cha.
Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti reveals the gopis' thoughts. We are not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering us day and night, gave up all sense enjoyment in your distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you. In response, Krishna here asks whether they resent his ingratitude.
Vayuryata gananikam prenam tulam yujamsi cha samyojakshi pate bhuyas tatha bhutani bhutakrit.
Just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again, so the Creator deals with his created beings in the same way.
Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate dishtya yadasimat sneho havati namadapanaha.
Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life. But by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude toward me, by which you have obtained me. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti, the gopis then replied, "But that Supreme Lord you are blaming is none other than yourself, O most clever of speakers. Everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact?" "All right," the Lord then told them, "if this is true, I must be God, but still I am conquered by your loving affection."
Om Agyana Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinyamina. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine.
There's one morning walk where someone recites that prayer to Prabhupada and Prabhupada interrupts him. The devotee says, "Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna." Prabhupada says, "Padaya." So we sometimes think Prabhupada didn't care if we messed up Sanskrit, but actually, Lokanath Swami has written a whole book. It's been out for a few years about Sanskrit pronunciation. And in the first part of the book, there's a long section about all the times where Prabhupada emphasized proper Sanskrit chanting. There's one of the first classes where Prabhupada was teaching devotees to chant Sanskrit. He just goes over and over and over again. Of course, I can't hear it. I can only read. But the devotees, you know, he's asking each devotee that's there in the class to chant the verse. Then he keeps correcting. He says, "No, like this. No, like this." No, he keeps over and over and over again. It goes on and on. It's like he really was concerned if devotees would do it right. So Prabhupada's prayer is Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, not Padaya. And there are lots of other things that devotees do wrong. It doesn't hurt to maybe once in a while look at the verse syllable by syllable, the prayer syllable by syllable. I think sometimes we have this idea that there's some quirk of Sanskrit that you have to get it just right, but every language is like that. If you don't say a word right, you're saying something different. So just like if I say million instead of billion or billion instead of million, well, it's almost the same. Ba-ma, it's almost the same. The whole word is practically the same. In fact, both of the first syllable is pronounced on the lips. They're both labial, so they're very close, but you're off by 1,000. You say billion when you mean million, or the other way around. So in Sanskrit, it's not just Sanskrit, it's every language. So we don't want to be saying gibberish to Krishna, offering prayers and saying something, who knows what, something ridiculous. We should try to, you know, study these and learn how to say them correctly. That's why Prabhupada actually had us reciting the verses every day. He would sometimes say, listen to the records. In other words, the recordings. Listen to the records and try to follow so you can understand how to pronounce these things. So here we have this beautiful scene. This is reminiscent of Lord Chaitanya's Rath Yatra. There's a long section there, chapter 13 of Madhya Leela, beginning around one, actually before that, but part I'm thinking of begins at 130, around verse 136, where Lord Chaitanya is speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and it gives much more insight into this, the bhava, the exchange that's taking place here between Radharani or the gopis and Lord Krishna. So here we see that the gopis, we heard before, they were standing off and watching, looking at Krishna. You can just imagine, they hadn't seen Krishna. I was figuring, it seems to me that Krishna is around 50 years old at this time, from what I can gather by trying to put the pieces together. And so he left home, he was like 10 or 11 when he left Vrindavan. So they haven't seen him in 40 years. They haven't seen Krishna. And now they're finally, they're so eager. They're going there, they're going to see Krishna. And then finally they see him off to the distance a little bit. And what happens? They just become stunned. They can't do anything, they're just stunned. This is one of the, of course, this being stunned is one of the Ashta Sattvika Vikars, one of the eight transcendental symptoms of bhava. Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and of course Prabhupada refers to it in the Nectar of Devotion. He explains how these ecstatic symptoms occur when the prana is disturbed or is in contact with one of the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So when the prana is in contact with the earth, that's where the stunned comes from. Prana and earth become stunned. In other words, the different elements of the body. So the prana is affected in some spiritual way. The prana is affected, and depending on how it interacts with different elements of the body, you get different reactions. So the reaction for prana and earth is being stunned. And the reaction for prana and water, actually you can just see the logic of these, because earth doesn't move, it's stunned. So similarly, the prana mixing with water produces tears, which is one of the ecstatic symptoms. And the prana mixing with perspiration, or with fire, produces perspiration. So we perspire when we're hot. So prana and fire is perspiration. And prana in sky is complete devastation. Of course, sky is all pervasive, so complete devastation, or sometimes it's called death. Of course, we never die spiritually. The gopis never die, but a devastation when the prana contacts the sky in ecstasy. And then finally, air, there are three things. When the prana is in touch with the air in ecstasy, it produces trembling, failing voice, and standing of the hairs on end. So the gopis are experiencing this, being stunned. So Krishna, he sees them. It says they went to a secluded place, but they didn't go anywhere. The gopis are just standing there, stunned. Apparently they were standing, secluded means they were apparently hidden off to the side while Krishna's interacting with so many people. Everyone's so eager to see Krishna. So they're watching and Krishna sees them. So then he goes to them, and it's described in this verse how Krishna embraced Ashlishya. You may have recognized that word. Ashlishya va parartam pinashtumam. So they've embraced, Krishna goes and embraced each one of them. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he embraced them firmly because he had to wake them up. They were in their stunned condition. He had to give them a good squeeze to wake them up from that condition of being stunned in ecstasy. And he did each one of them. He expanded himself into so many forms, just as he did during the Rasa Leela. This is technically called Prabhu Prakash. In Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he gives all these different categories of Krishna's forms. So when Krishna's form is of the same power as him, fully Krishna, and looks the same as Krishna too. That's called Prabhav Prakash. So that's what Krishna's manifesting here, his Prabhav Prakash, and he's waking up all the gopis from their ecstasy. And then he begins speaking to them. First thing he asks is, do you remember me? Do you remember me? What a question. Huh? Krishna's asking the gopis, do you remember me? Then he says, it was for my relative's sake that I've been away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. So this is Krishna's general reason that he gives for why he had to leave Vrindavan and couldn't return. I won't call it an excuse, but it's his reason why he couldn't return. In fact, in the Gopal Champu, I think it's there that I read it, Krishna's actually agonizing over, when he's in Mathura, he keeps thinking of going back to Vrindavan, and he's really agonizing over it. Should I or shouldn't I? And he thinks, well, yes, I should, because, and there are others, sometimes people come from Vrindavan, they say, you know, everyone is suffering so much in separation from you. But he keeps going back and forth, but ultimately he doesn't go because he doesn't want to bring enemies there. Because Krishna has so many enemies, they're attacking Mathura, and if he goes to Vrindavan, in fact, if he has any contact with, he doesn't want the enemies to know that there are these people in Vrindavan that love him so much, because they might attack those Vrajvasis. So he sort of like doesn't want to have anything to do with them in case anybody gets the idea that goes attacks Vrindavan. So this is ultimately Krishna's reason, generally, that he refers to. That's why he doesn't return to Vrindavan, because he for the protection of the residents of Vrindavan. And also, of course, he's reciprocating with the Yadus. The Yadus love him too. He's part of their family. He was born in the Yadu dynasty. They're attached to him. He can't leave their association. So that's another reason that has kept him away. So that he says, do you perhaps think that I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? Now, what I want to do, I want to kind of reverse the purport and the translation, because the purports explain what the gopis were thinking before Krishna spoke. So first, of course, Krishna says, do you remember me? Then the gopis say, we're not like you, who with your heart, sheltered by remembering us day and night, gave up all sense of enjoyment in distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you. So then Krishna says, do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful? In other words, he's picking up their mood here, their sarcasm. No, we're not, we haven't thought of you at all. What are you thinking? Huh. But he said, so then he's maybe in humility. Do you think I'm ungrateful? So then he gives some philosophy. Actually, it's the Supreme Lord that brings people together and separates them. In other words, it's not my fault. It's just, you know, it's our karma. What can I say? So then in response to that, well, then he gives this example, these different examples. He's, you know, he's getting philosophical here, which of course is something that drives the gopis crazy. Whenever Krishna gets philosophical, or he sends Uddhava, this theme comes up in that 13th chapter of Madhyalila, in the conversation between Krishna and Radharani. Radharani says, actually, the first thing she says is, generally the mind and the heart are one, but for me, Vrindavan and my mind are one, because Vrindavan is my place. And then she says, and because you like Vrindavan, won't you please bring your lotus feet there? In other words, come to Vrindavan or come into my mind, come into my heart. And then she says, you know, why, you're always cheating us, Krishna. First you send Uddhava to teach us about jnana yoga and, you know, ashtanga yoga, meditation. But we gopis, we're not like yogis. Yogis, they can just meditate and they're satisfied with that. They can just sit and meditate on your feet and they'll be just fine with that. But we're not like that. We can't just meditate on your lotus feet. We have to have your association. You have to come to Vrindavan. We can't leave Vrindavan. We are Vrindavan. How can we leave Vrindavan? We just need you to return to Vrindavan and stop talking this philosophy. We don't want to hear this anymore. Stop being so mean. Now, she basically says, you're cheating us. This is, what are you doing? Are you trying to kill us? But we think you're going to return to Vrindavan. You give some inclination that maybe you'll be returning, and then you don't return. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they're just suffering so much. It just breaks my heart. So why don't you just come and stop with this philosophy? So here Krishna is giving more philosophy here at Kurukshetra. He gives these different examples how God brings people together and separates them, like the wind bringing clouds together and separating them, like blades of grass that are blown together, or maybe sometimes the example is given on the water, blades of grass come together and then are separated by the waves. Or wisps of cotton or particles of dust. So they come together and then the wind separates them. So then to go to the next purport, so then the gopis reply to this, they're saying, but that Supreme Lord you are blaming is none other than yourself. In other words, he's saying it's God's to blame. He's the one that brings people together and then separates them. So the gopis say, but you're God. So, that's no excuse. Or most clever of speakers. Everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact? So the gopis know that Krishna is God. But they don't care. That's an insignificant. Actually, being God is not such a big deal. You'd be the controller of the energy, material energy. That what he does at home is really what's important. Just like in ordinary life, someone may have a father who's president or a big general or judge or something, and in his official duties, then everybody has to offer him so much respect and so on. But for the child at home, they don't care what daddy does at work. He goes away and leaves and goes to work, and maybe he's commanding thousands and thousands of people or a whole country, maybe the most powerful person in the world. But for the child, that's not what's important. What's important is when daddy is with me, playing with me at home. That's what I care about. That's what's important. So for the gopis, or for anybody who loves Krishna, then that's what's important, to have Krishna's association. That he runs the world, who cares about that? That he loves us, or we love him. That's really what's important. So then Krishna says, all right, you're right, I'm God, but still I'm conquered by your affection. The translation is, rendering devotional service to this verse, by the way, Mayi bhakti arhi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate, the last verse we read. It's quite a famous verse. Disya yadasi matsneho bhavatinam adapana. It's quoted three times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's quoted in chapter 4 of Adi Lila, where we're hearing about the gopis and their exalted state of Krishna consciousness being the highest level of devotees. It's quoted by Ramananda Rai also when he's talking about the gopis. And then it's quoted by, Lord Chaitanya in the context of what I've been explaining at Rathyatra, the exchange between Krishna and Radharani. So he's saying that by service to me, you can get amritatvaya kalpate, you become eligible for liberation. So for a devotee, of course, that's not the point, liberation. For other people, of course, I'm always thinking, what is, a lot of times we come across the word liberation. What does it mean? What kind of liberation? What exactly does it mean? Does it mean merging into the Brahman, or what does it mean exactly? There's one place where Prabhupada talks about liberation is just becoming free from suffering and free from death. And in that sense, he says, just imagine how happy you would be if you didn't have to die, and you never get old again. And they wouldn't get disease. Stop that. Just that in itself is a kind of happiness. But really, it's not happiness. In fact, I was thinking how, if somebody told you, you can live forever, I would say, no thanks. If I have to live like this forever, in this body, that's a kind of a scary proposition, isn't it? Yeah, okay, it's great to be eternal, if that's where amrita is, to be eternal, but not eternal like this. Or there's another really bad eternal, if that eternal is in hell. That's eternal too. Yeah, cool, I'm eternal, but I don't want that eternal. So just to be eternal, there's no ecstasy in that. In fact, it's boring. Just like one of the reasons we wouldn't want to live eternally in this form is, well, it's pretty boring. What do you do? You keep chewing the chew, go on and on. Life, material life is boring, really, when you get down to it. I was thinking how sometimes a man or a woman, you know, they're both lonely and bored. They're living alone, lonely and bored. So then they get together, and then there is some excitement for a while, and then a little time passes, and they're bored again. How many times do you go to the nightclub? What do? It's Saturday night. What are we going to do? Movie? No, we did that last week. Nightclub, and we did that last night. You know, what do? Watch TV. Do that every night. So that's material life. You want to do that for eternity? Now they're talking about, you know, extending life. In fact, there are discussions about this. What happens if people live 150 years, if we can extend the life, because they have these dreams that they can do that, fix this part of the body and fix that part. So what happens if people are living 150 years? It's all kinds of problems, what to speak of social security problems. Who's going to send in the money to pay the social security? So longevity, that kind of a myth, that eternity, that's not very attractive when you think of it. And in fact, all the other kinds of liberation for a devotee, they're not very attractive. In fact, they're horrifying. If that liberation means no Krishna, just imagine. Or to say you can't chant Hare Krishna again, ever. You can't think of Krishna ever again. Of course, the gopis say, you're telling us to meditate on you, and we can't even stop thinking. We're trying, but we can't. But the idea for a devotee to have no will, never to see Krishna again for eternity, that's why Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Kaivalyam Narakayate, that's hell. That's worse than hell. If I could be in full consciousness in hell and think of Krishna in my suffering burning, that's much preferable to not being to have being able to think of Krishna, to remember Krishna. So what Krishna is saying, that what he's implying here, you're just by serving me, people can get liberation, but your position is so much higher than that. Your position is that you've conquered me. You've attained me. I'm the creator, like you say, so you've attained that creator. And I am, of course, that's only one small aspect of what I do. So here Krishna is, of course, he's glorifying them. He has more to say in upcoming verses, this nice conversation. In fact, at the end of this chapter also, there's this beautiful verse. Refresh my memory here. Yeah, Ahushchitena Lina Naba Padaravindam Yogeshware Vidibichintya Magara Bodhai. This is another very famous verse. How it has to do with the same theme. How the yogis, you're wanted by the yogis, but the yogis are meditating on you. But what they say, we're just ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. And they say, that's our position. So the gopis, of course, but they have the highest in their humility. They speak, and of course, they speak in different ways. Sometimes they say, we can't remember you, and sometimes they say, we can never remember you. They have these kinds of ecstasies. But in their humility here, they're saying that we, in this final verse of the chapter, we can never remember you. So, but Krishna's saying, no, you're the highest. You have all the greatest qualifications. You've purchased me by your love, and don't think that I'm ungrateful. Let us enjoy our time together. Sort of what Krishna says in the beginning here, he says, he embraced them and he lapsed. They're completely dumbfounded, and of course they're angry, and Krishna's saying, lighten up, you know. We're going to spend a little time together here. Let's enjoy our time together here at Kurukshetra, reminiscing and reliving our times in Vrindavan. So I'll stop here. Let me just read the translation to the first verse. The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. Any questions or comments? Nothing today. All right. Bhagavad Gita chanting tonight. Unfortunately, I won't be there. Last year I did it and I couldn't speak for 2 weeks. Completely ruined my voice. Anyway, now that means the Battle of Kurukshetra began on Ekadashi, which is quite kind of interesting. Because Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on Ekadashi. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.